is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Lookout weekend. Happy Friday, everybody, as we welcome you into the Lombardi Line. No Michael Lombardi today. Very pleased to be joined on set live at Circa Resort and Casino by Mike Somich, usually hosting The Handle every Saturday and Sunday here on the network, which rumor has it you still will be there this weekend, which is nice.
You get a lot of me this week. I'm in Sharp Money later today, then I'm on The Handle over the weekend, then Monday morning a numbers game. So a lot of Somich this weekend.
We love to see it. Sama bombs all over the place, but very excited to have you. Thank you for stepping in. Well, also on the show today, great guest list overall. Jake Asman, ESPN New York Sirius XM Radio. He's here as part of Circa's contest sign up weekend at Radio Row. We're going to get a deep dive on the New York Jets as well as the AFC East as a whole. Then later on in hour two, fellow VSiN host Jared Smith is going to hop on here, get into college football week zero. Kickoff for college football is already tomorrow. Can you believe it? We're here.
We get real football. I'm so excited for
real
football.
Well, I mean, that's kind of debatable after game one in Dublin a little bit.
That is the real football game. But you're going to have your first chance to chase Hawaii laying 40 at midnight. Who doesn't want to get involved in that?
Oh, man. Yeah, that was actually, we did a storm warning a couple weeks ago, and that was my lone piece of advice as we kick off college football season was, listen, we got a few games. Everybody's really, really excited about the fact that you have meaningful football back on your television screen. But let's say Florida State, Georgia Tech doesn't go well. Let's say, you know, SMU, Nevada doesn't go the way that you're hoping it does. Don't chase. Don't chase on Hawaii, Delaware State, I beg of you. But I do have a question about that game that we'll get to a little bit later that I'm very curious your thoughts on.
It's going to be interesting. You're definitely going to get some people to chase. Don't chase. One of my buddies, his favorite thing to do, he's got one bet this weekend. He already played the other side with Hawaii minus 40. So he's like, well, I got some skin in the game. So if I lose my bet, I've got a Hawaii minus 40 ticket to sweat.
Hilarious. That line, by the way, opened minus 27.5. We are up to minus 40 now. Just a little bit. So, week zero kicking off this weekend. We are in week three of the preseason. So preseason finales for all these teams. Who's in? Who's out? We're figuring it all out as we go here. But we did have some action last week kicking off the third week of the preseason. We saw the Colts and Bengals in action, Bears and Chiefs. And after two straight weeks in the NFL preseason, Mike, where unders were king. Last week, it was 14-2 to the under. Over the course of 2 weeks, 26-6 to the under. A pair of overs yesterday. Do we think this could be thematic with a lot of these totals ticking down in week three?
Yeah, over bettors rejoice for the first time in a long time here in the preseason. I do think we have a shot at it because we're going to get a lot of third and fourth team this week. When I was scrubbing through the different games we're going to talk about a little bit later in the show, you've got a lot more starters that are resting, where we've got games literally in less than a week now to kick off the NFL season. All of a sudden, we're seeing a lot of these players who do not get a lot of time. They're going to be inserted into the lineup. You're talking about some third string running backs that are trying to make teams. You've got rookie defensive players littered all over the field. The kickoff units are different than what we saw in the first couple games. That creates chaos. Chaos can create points. It can also create no points. So it's one of those situations where you could see it go either way, but based off what we saw in that first game, I do think we're going to see a few more points this week. I'm not running to play any of the overs at that, even with that said. I do have a couple unders that I like this week.
Okay, well, let's get, and we'll preview the entire slate a little bit later on, but let's stick to what we saw last night, where starting things off, the Colts did win and cover as a 6.5-point favorite against the Bengals, 27-14, the final there. Starters for Indy played the first quarter and a half. Anthony Richardson right away goes down the field, scores a touchdown. He was 7 of 8 for 65 yards that drive. And if his start ended there, everybody would probably be raving about him, but Steichen left him in for a little more work. He ended his time 8 of 14, 86 yards, a couple misses. Did have a pick six on what looked like some miscommunication, which Anthony Richardson talked about after the game.
Hey, I guess, how would you assess tonight? Touchdown pass, pick six, fumble, things like that.
Decent. Got two touchdowns. No, I'm joking. the interception, man, that was a tough one, you know, communication right there. Granson saw something and I saw something else. You know, we just got to be on the same page right there. The fumble, man, they preach two hands on the ball in the pocket, you know, almost every day in the QB room. Now, I know they're going to tell me that, you know, when we get back in the meetings in the next couple of days, but I feel like it was a decent game. Just me, you know, being back out there, just flipping it up.
Fun reaction there. I threw two touchdowns.
I like the attitude. Me too. You know, and this is one of those things where you're going to hear a lot of people overreact about Anthony Richardson. We've heard it all preseason. He needs to step forward for this Colts team to be good. But this isn't the Shane Steichen offense that we're going to see once the regular season rolls out. Yesterday, he threw 14 passes and ran the ball one time. Mm-hmm. That's not what we're going to see from Shane Steichen. We're going to see a heavy dose of the run for both Jonathan Taylor and Anthony Richardson. And to me, it's still more of a health concern than a talent concern for Anthony Richardson. Can he stay healthy inside that offense for a full season? You look at what Shane Steichen did with Jalen Hurts and how he was able to progress him as a quarterback, but also as a runner. That's what you should expect from Anthony Richardson. So the preseason for Anthony Richardson just feels like a lot of noise because Shane Steichen's trying things. He's seeing what routes Anthony Richardson likes, what's confusing him, what's not confusing him, so he knows what to call once the real lights are on.
And you're right. The health part of this is extremely important. He had season-ending shoulder surgery last year. He only started and finished two games last season, played in four. But in that time, 12 quarters of action, four rushing touchdowns, to your point.
He looked pretty good. Yeah. He looked pretty good. He was one of those fantasy studs early in the year. So,
and that's what I keep on coming back to, because you know, like, those quarterbacks that are elite rushers are what you're looking for in fantasy. And he could be that if he stays healthy.
Especially because they, like, Shane Steichen has shown he's willing to run quarterbacks at high leverage moment. So, you know, third and short, fourth and short, and goal line. Well, if you're looking for a fantasy quarterback and you know they're going to be running the ball consistently at the goal line, it's a huge boost to that value there. And this is a Colts offense that I like quite a bit. If Anthony Richardson does even achieve half his potential from a throwing perspective, they should be able to move the ball consistently with a very good offensive line.
Second game of the night, Chiefs-Bears, it was all backups there, although the Chiefs did sign their center, Creed Humphrey, to a four-year, $72 million extension through 2028, so he's feeling pretty happy. But let's look ahead to the action coming up tonight. We have three preseason games upcoming. The Jags go from a 4.5-point favorite to 7, total 35.5 there. Trevor Lawrence expected to play some before Mac Jones takes over.
Yeah, you got a really good quarterback room today for the Jaguars. It's interesting, you had a C.J. Beathard injury that's going to keep him out of this game, and because of that, you're going to get a lot of Mac Jones. Mac Jones, pretty good preseason quarterback, and someone who I consider to have quite a bit of talent, especially when you look at the Falcons, who are not going to be playing any of their starters. You're going to get the ones on offense for Jacksonville against the twos for the Falcons. You're going to get the twos on offense for Jacksonville against the threes and fours for the Falcons. Seems like a good spot for the Jaguars to continue their dominance, and they've been very good so far in this preseason. Won both the games they've played. They've held their opponents on the defensive side down. I think you're going to see a very vanilla Falcons game plan today. So it's I understand why this line has moved 2.5 points toward the Jags.
Yeah, Falcons 0-2 in the preseason so far. They've kind of punted on the situation right now. But yeah, I agree totally with that thought process. It'll be interesting to see what we have from the Jags today. I don't have a play in this game, but I was contemplating one until we saw so much movement in this Dolphins-Bucks game. A flip of favorites there. The Dolphins opened 1.5-point favorites. Bucks now laying 3 against Miami, total 37.5. And of course, this happens when Todd Bowles steps up and says, hey, Baker Mayfield and company are going to get their first action here of the preseason. Said he wants to make sure the operation is running smoothly.
Baker Mayfield going to get the action. The question is the wide receivers.
Okay.
We have not heard if Mike Evans or Chris Godwin are officially going to play in this game, and that makes a big difference when you're looking at the ones and what Baker Mayfield able to do. I'm surprised Baker Mayfield without his starting receivers is worth 4.5, just assuming that that's just good. But the Dolphins, again, they have been pretty bad this preseason. Both their quarterbacks have struggled mightily, and you're going to just see those two quarterbacks again run right back out there for the Dolphins. So a lot of this move and what we saw is the total tick up when the Baker news came out. I'm kind of tempted toward, well, how many series are we going to get toward Baker, right? Is it going to be one? Is it going to be two? Who's going to be out there with him? I'm surprised the total ticked up 3 points more than I am that the line moved 4.5.
Well, and to your point about like how long some of these players are going to be out there, that's a theme throughout a lot of these games that we're going to talk about today for the weekend. Like, coaches aren't telling you everything right now, whereas in certain cases, they're very open. Hey, this is the plan. This is what we're going to do. This week, there's a lot more questions than answers when it comes to that.
There is. I mean, it's the last week of the preseason, right? So you're more worried about roster spots than you are necessarily starters at this point. You have teams that are flying off to Brazil that are playing on a Thursday night. All of that stuff is coming up here. It's a short week for some of these teams coming back. So you've got to pay attention to what's on deck for these teams and what the goal of the game is, because these preseason games, the goal is not to win for a lot of these coaches. The goal is to figure out your roster. If you could win, great. But right now, right before last cuts, you need to understand what the difference is between your third and fourth string running back, what the difference is between your seventh and eighth offensive lineman, and understand who needs to make the team so that you can fill it out from a depth perspective so you're ready for the season to begin.
By Tuesday, these teams have to cut down from over 90 players down to that final 53. So a lot of decisions to be made on the field this week. The final game, the 49ers and Raiders, San Francisco up to 7 now, total 32.5. Raiders, Antonio Pierce said that everybody's going to sit from the starting standpoint, and that goes not only from Gardner Minshew, but Aiden O'Connell as well is not going to be playing in this one. Meanwhile, the 49ers are expected to have some of their starters out there. Brock Purdy will be leading the way.
Yeah, this is wild. I mean, this game moved from the Raiders opening a 3.5-point favorite. We saw San Francisco get as high as a 7.5-point favorite. There was some buyback on the Raiders when we got to 7.5, so we're sitting at 7 and now. The total also ticked down from 37.5 to 32.5 with the news that the Raiders were going to sit everybody. The Niners haven't been great this preseason, Stormy. I know that you're a Niners fan. I don't want to come on here and start bashing the Niners, but they lost a game. They had a couple of close calls there. Now you're 7-point favorites against the Raiders. Is that too much?
I also was laughing last week. My dad, after one throw from Brock Purdy, was like, hey, Purdy looks pretty good. Ends up going 2-6, and now he has to start another game. But it is the 49ers are a very interesting team to me this year because, obviously, yes, waiting to figure out whatever happens with the Brandon Ayuk situation. I do have confidence Trent Williams is going to get signed. I think he just doesn't want to do training camp, and he's going to get more money. We all know that's going to happen, but he doesn't mind not being out there for all of these training camp practices. That said, because you are a team that just came off of a Super Bowl appearance, you have all of the talent in the world. You're the only team in the NFL favored in every single game. It's natural that this team is going to take a step back, not a step forward.
It's tough to get revved up for the preseason.
For sure.
And you've got so much ancillary noise that's going on. The Ayuk situation, the Williams situation. I agree with you. The Williams one's going to work itself out. He's going to get signed. He's going to be fine. The Ayuk one, who knows what's going to happen? And you've got a team that has to feel a little deflated coming off that Super Bowl. I still have them number one in my power rankings. Not knocking them from that perspective, but there's question marks.
They're going to be very good, but
in the regular season.
Here, I thought we had something good. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, continue a lot of this NFL preseason talk, and we've got some Saratoga Samba bombs coming your way.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, here is your host, Stormy Bonantoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Stormy Bonantoni and Mike Somich on the desk today as we welcome you back live from downtown Las Vegas, Circa Resort and Casino, inside the world's largest sports book. But we're going to shift from Vegas out to Saratoga because it's a huge race weekend. We've got another race three coming up in about 20 minutes. And the great thing about Mike Somich, in addition to his knowledge on all of the major professional sports we talk about on a daily basis, is you are also so dialed in the horse racing scene.
It's the first love for me. Yeah. It's really how I got introduced to betting. I played poker professionally for a while and then just jumped all the way into horse racing and then kind of came around to sports betting just because of some of the natural advantages that are built into sports betting versus horse racing. I love this weekend from Saratoga, though. We've got Travers weekend coming up. Tomorrow is the Travers. It's a grade one for three-year-olds. All the horses you remember from the Kentucky Derby, from the Belmont, they're all back. Plus, we get a filly taking on the boys in Torpedo Anna, so that's going to be a phenomenal race tomorrow. Like a long shot, Corporate Power, 15-1 on the morning line, the four horse. I'm sure we'll talk more about that this weekend if you're watching VSiN. But today's card can't get overlooked. We've got a graded stakes, the Personal Ensign, the 10th race. Probably one of the least exciting races to bet because there's only five fillies and mares that are going to be running in that spot. But the undercard is phenomenal. Starting here with race number three, I like the 6-horse Breeze, 4-1 on the morning line. It's a horse that's second off the layoff for Shug McGahee. Right now you're getting 5-1, and it's one of the few horses that possesses pace in this race. So Breeze should be forwardly placed, should be able to get a good trip up front. And this is a turf course that's been playing towards speed. So we're going to go with the number 6 Breeze in the second race here at Saratoga. It seems like a fitting name too for Lombardi Line.
I love it. I'm about it. It's funny. So obviously my name being Stormy, when I was a kid growing up, I always asked my mom, I was like, why is my middle name Nicole? My first name Stormy. Couldn't I have a cool middle name like Sky or Breeze? Like, let's just really roll into it. And my dad said that was excessive. So it didn't end up happening for me.
Hey, you know, I
loved Breeze though. I was about it.
I was expecting you were going to say, why wasn't Nicole my first name and Stormy my middle name?
Well, teachers think that when I was in school growing up, and they'd go through like, Stormy, that's not a real name. Nicole, they just go straight to the middle name. Like, yeah. You know, words hurt, teach, but
yeah, come on.
Neither here nor there. And, you know, I am a big name person. Unfortunately, I do not have anything near the experience level that you have with horse racing. All I know is I go to Del Mar every summer and have a blast out there in San Diego. And I go do my little trifecta box. I pick a horse with a fun name and I see what happens. Which, by the way, speaking of names, Storm Revolver was like the biggest hit that I ever had. It was a 33-1 in a race. I did it outright just for fun. Everybody else in my family that day was losing left and right. It was brutal. And then I hit this one outright and everything went wild.
I'm surprised you didn't reference Got Stormy, one of the best fillies that we've had on the turf in the last decade. That's a horse you should have been betting on. She was phenomenal.
Opportunity missed. No, good stuff. And we'll continue to update you on Saratoga throughout the show, as well as tomorrow on The Handle, you and Matt Brown getting together and talking through all of that good stuff. We did have some more news to get to in the National Football League preseason as well. This Steelers quarterback competition, I feel like every day there's more reaction about it all across the country. Russell Wilson obviously entered this offseason in pole position, as Mike Tomlin termed it. Justin Fields has played a little bit better in the preseason, but I mean, cumulatively in two preseason games, the offense has only put up 15 points. So nobody has clearly had an edge here, but Justin Fields on the podium yesterday said, quote, "I think I've shown what I can do." He thinks he did well every time he had work with the first team, and said, "I'm just going to come in here every day, the same person, being a leader for this team and work my butt off. I try not to think about stuff I can't control."
This is interesting. I mean, it feels like Mike Tomlin has to make a decision of how he feels about the defense as well when making this quarterback decision, because Russell Wilson probably has a higher floor but a significantly lower ceiling for the offense, where Justin Fields has a significantly higher ceiling. He's able to move the football up the middle. Russell Wilson doesn't throw it up the middle anymore. He's able to move the football with his legs as well. I feel like if you're going for it and you're the Steelers in this division, you kind of have to start Justin Fields.
Why do you think? Okay, go for it. I need more.
You've got Cincinnati up top. You've got Cleveland, who has a phenomenal roster, but a question mark at quarterback. You've got the Ravens, who have been just great as a regular season team for multiple years. And you've got that stretch at the end of the schedule. If you want to win in that late half of the stretch, you're not doing it with Russell Wilson. You're going to do it with Justin Fields. And if you want Justin Fields to be ready for it, you need him to win early with this team. You're going to need to win 10, 11 games to be able to make the playoffs. You're going to need to win 12 games if you want to win the division. If you want this team to be the best version of itself, it has to be with Justin Fields, and you hope that he's able to progress, and then you fall back to Russell Wilson. If you go from Russell Wilson and then you pull him early in the season for Justin Fields, you can't go back to Russell Wilson.
But see, I would say the opposite. If you've said all along that Russell Wilson is in pole position, the expectation is he's the veteran, he's going to be the guy. We all know Russell Wilson's personality as well when it comes to some of these things, that I feel like it's very, very hard to start with Justin Fields and see how that dynamic is going to be, and then be like, actually, Russ, we need you. This isn't working out with Justin. He's turning the ball over too much. We can't do it.
You're right. It will be tough to go from one to the other, and you're not going to be able to go back once you make that move. But because of the way this plays out, like, the worst thing, if I'm a Pittsburgh Steelers fan, the absolute worst thing is that Russell Wilson starts this season and you start 6-2. Because then you never see Justin Fields and you get destroyed.
And you never know.
In the back half of that season. Because you play six division games all in your last 8 weeks. And the other two games at the Eagles versus the Chiefs.
Toughest schedule in the National Football League. That back half of the season, the reason why. Initially, when the Steelers season win total opened at 8.5, you saw the juice creep up on the over. It got up to, I want to say, -130. Now it's +120 on that same win total for that reason. The Steelers are a 6.5-point favorite against the Lions in this final preseason game. We expect both Russell Wilson and Justin Fields to play. But I don't, like, how much do you think this game actually has to do with the decision that Mike Tomlin is going to make?
I don't know. You'd hope not much at this point. Like, you've seen these guys for a month now. You should know who you want as your starting quarterback. And the fact you don't doesn't really instill confidence in me in either of these guys starting. But again, if you're not confident in either guy starting, if both are going to make mistakes, take the ceiling guy.
Yeah.
Always take the potential in the ceiling, especially when you're picked for fourth in the division.
Yeah, because Russ is not cooking anymore. Justin Fields at least has mobility.
He's making ramen. He's not making any.
Hey, don't hate on ramen,
meals.
Okay? I love that chicken ramen pack of 10 all day, baby.
Anything but the shrimp.
I can't do the shrimp. It's a weird thing. I don't even know why they have that.
It makes no sense.
My favorite stat, though, between Russell Wilson and Justin Fields, Wilson has 37 games the last three seasons with multiple sacks taken, most in the NFL. You know, the second most? Justin Fields with 36. So guys hold on to the ball a little bit too long regardless. Bryce Young and starters for the Carolina Panthers also going to make their preseason debut on Saturday against the Bills. This is Bryce Young's first live action outside of a joint practice against the Jets. Bills will be playing their reserves in this one. Panthers lane 4.5.
I'm like shockingly excited to see this. I don't know what to make of the Panthers this year. I think that bringing in Dave Canales makes them at least a little intriguing on the offensive side of the ball. Bryce Young had nothing to work with at all last year. Terrible offensive line, no weapons. When Adam Thielen is your one, you're in trouble. They went out, they added the wide receiver position, they added the offensive line position. This is a team that I think is at least interesting. We've seen money move toward the over on their win total at 5.5. Like, I'm excited to see what this looks like. We've heard mixed reviews about Bryce Young. He was struggling early in camp, then he was phenomenal a couple weeks ago. I'm excited to see what he looks like with an offensive line, with a competent offensive coach, and with wide receivers to throw the football to. I'm not going to take too much away from it, but this is one of those teams where I did want to see the ones run at some point in the preseason. I'm glad we're going to get that opportunity.
And we were questioning a lot as to, quite frankly, why we hadn't seen Bryce Young, because for a lot of the reasons you laid out, we want to, we kind of need to. They've invested a lot of money in this offensive line. What's it going to look like? Dave Canales said the rationale for not playing starters the first two games was a combination of injuries and working to get the team in complete grasp of the new system, which, like, should that be cause for concern a little bit here to hear those words from him?
I wouldn't say it if I was a head coach. I would choose to say other things, other reasons that really are meaningless versus saying, hey, they don't understand the lingo. Yeah. They're struggling with the plays. They're not great with the play call. Like that's a little bit of a concern, especially heading into the preseason. But again, you kind of have to trust Canales on some level if you believe in this Panthers team. He did wonderful work in Seattle with Geno Smith. We saw him have a career year and then regress the next year. He got Baker Mayfield, that contract down in Tampa. You got to think that he's going to be able to step forward this offense, especially with the additions. Now it's just the question of how good are they going to be and what are we going to get from the defensive side of the ball?
Some good news for a couple of injuries as well. Joey Bosa returned to practice yesterday. He had not been on the practice field since October 4th, dealing with a hand and wrist injury. So getting him back out there, a positive. Deshaun Watson also was dealing with some arm soreness, which coming off of a season-ending shoulder surgery, not something you want to hear. But he practiced in full on Thursday after being limited earlier in the week. Seahawks head coach Mike McDonald said the team's optimistic Noah Fant will be ready for week one with the Broncos. So a couple positive injury updates here before we go to break.
Yeah, all good news, or mostly good news there. I guess Deshaun Watson, not great news, but who knows what we're going to get from Deshaun Watson.
Yeah. There's that.
The Bosa one concerns me because this is a roster that lacks talent from top to bottom outside of Justin Herbert when you're talking about the Los Angeles Chargers. And Mac had a phenomenal season last year, just a resurgent season. Is he going to be able to do the same thing without Bosa out there? And can we get a full season of Bosa? Because the secondary is a mess. For Los Angeles, they need those edge rushers to be able to create pressure. I'm not sure Mac can do what he did last year. You need Bosa as that second running mate. And he struggled with injury the last couple of years as well. This isn't the start you want if you're a Chargers fan.
I know we have to go to break, but what did you think about the season win total for LA?
Oh, I'm on the under.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm a Chargers under guy.
Okay. There's not many of us out there, but we do exist. We're going to hit the break. When we come back, another team I have major questions about, the New York Jets. Jake Asman, ESPN New York Sirius XM Radio, going to join us next. Get the lowdown on all things Jets and AFC East.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It's contest sign-up weekend here at Circa Resort and Casino, which means we are so fortunate. We get some floating awesome guests that are in studio alongside Mike Somich, Stormy Bonantoni with you. Jake Asman on the desk with us here, the Jake Asman Show on YouTube, ESPN New York, Sirius XM Radio. You can find this guy pretty much everywhere, which is awesome. And the Jets, a team that everybody wants to talk about. So I'm sure you have been very busy and people have been stopping you a lot upstairs.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost like they have one of the most polarizing athletes of all time. Playing quarterback for them or something, you know?
Hey, it's interesting. After Zach Wilson's season last year, we talked about the loss of Aaron Rodgers. You have Zach Wilson, also a pretty polarizing athlete when you think about it. Then you have Aaron Rodgers come in. This team on the defensive side of the ball specifically looks like they are ready to take a huge step forward. Massive pass rush on the inside. You've got Sauce Gardner on the outside. What are your expectations from this Jets defense? How good does Aaron Rodgers, the offense, even need to be for this Jets team to succeed.
Yeah, I'm glad you worded it that way, because the way I look at it is, you know, they've had a top five defense the last 2 years. They've won seven games with the last ranked offense in the sport. And objectively speaking, I mean, last year was the worst quarterback room maybe ever put together. The only quarterback I could tell you guys that Zach Wilson is definitively better than is Tim Boyle, who, of course, was their only other option after they finally bet Zach Wilson last year. So, look, I mean, Aaron Rodgers is 81-10 in his career when his defense allows less than 20 points. The last 2 years combined, the Jets defense has allowed under 20 points per game. It's like 19.3, I believe, is the number. So you don't need Aaron Rodgers to be an MVP level player for this team to go from 7-10 to at least 10 or 11 wins, in my opinion. But, you know, but the big thing for him is, can he stay healthy? They revamped the offensive line. Mm-hmm. They go out there. They obviously added Mike Williams as another weapon. They draft Malachi Corley. They looked good this summer. Like Olufashinu, who they took in the first round, is now backing up Tyron Smith and Morgan Moses. So even if you have an injury to one of your veteran tackles, you don't feel like you're screwed like you were last year. So the roster is really good. The defense is elite. And if the, you know, the offense could just be competent, right? Average to above average. There's no reason why this team can't be competing for the AFC East, is how I personally look at it as a cautiously optimistic Jets fan.
Well, and I think that's like a great way to put it, right? Is cautiously optimistic, because there's so much reason for optimism when you think about what this team is on paper. We've joked on the Lombardi line, Michael Lombardi and I usually, we call them the ifers, because like, if everybody stays healthy, if Robert Saleh is the leader that he tries to act like he is, but we haven't seen yet, if all of these things happen, then the Jets could be unbelievable. But do I bet on an if, or do I bet on what I've seen in the past?
Yeah, it's totally fair. I mean, that's why I go back to the fact that, you know, I have questions about the head coach as well, but to be fair to him, there's not a coach in football through the first 3 years that has had a worse quarterback situation than Robert Saleh. He's at least supposed to be a defensive guy. He is built for 2 years straight now, a top five defense. They never play with leads. They're always on the field. So I just can't even imagine what this team could look like if, instead of being down late where teams aren't going to throw on them, they're just going to run the ball. All of a sudden, you have to try and throw against Sauce Gardner, DJ Reed, and Michael Carter. You have to worry about the pass rush of Quinnen Williams, Jermaine Johnson. Eventually, I'm assuming Hassan Reddick will show up at some point. You add him to that defense, and you're talking about a defensive line in the secondary, plus two all-pro linebackers in CJ Mosley and Quincy Williams. They might be the best defense in the league, getting a chance to finally play with the lead. But, you know, it all comes back to Aaron Rodgers. Like, if you tell me he plays 14 or 15 games, I think if you're a Jet fan, you sign for that right now. You got a legit backup in Tyrod Taylor. You can go 2-1 with Tyrod over a 3-game stretch. So I think, like, the ceiling for the Jets is they could be one of the best teams in the league, but the floor needs to be, if you're a 7-win team the last 2 years, you have to at least be a playoff team, at least be a 10-win team, and get in as a wild card team at the bare minimum. Otherwise, you bring up Robert Saleh, he won't be here next year. Joe Douglas, their GM, he won't be here next year. So, like, they have to get it done this year, because if not now, then when?
Yeah, Jeff Hackett also on that list. He will not be back if they don't get the job done here. And Stormy, you mentioned kind of the Jets are a team of ifs. It feels like this whole division is a division of ifs in a lot of ways. You've got the Miami Dolphins. You've got this prolific offense on one side, but they've got to go outside later in the year. That's a big question mark for them. Both the defensive ends that were big-time pass rushers last year coming off Achilles and ACL injuries, that's a big question mark. The Bills, who've been the dominant team inside this division, I mean, I might be able to be their third wide receiver at this point. Their defense getting gutted in a lot of ways, that specifically the safety position going to be a big question mark for them. When you're talking about the Jets, who now are the co-favorite with the Bills to win the division and have the highest win total right now, what do you make of the Dolphins and the Bills? We're not going to bring up the Patriots. I think we can all agree they're probably fourth place in this division.
Oh, do I love saying that.
They're they stink. Yeah, they're the longest long shot in any division right now. Like, what a change of fate for New England.
It brings tears of joy. I'm thrilled.
It might not just be this year, too. It might be a little while before the Patriots are good again. But what do you make of the rest of the division and the Bills and the Dolphins, the teams that are going to try and, I guess, chase down the Jets now, since they have the highest win total and are the favorite?
Yeah, it is wild that the Jets have now become the favorites in this. But if you think about it, just from a talent standpoint, like, what I try to do is, like, just look at the roster, right? You remove Jets from the helmet. And I think the Jets are the most talented team in the AFC. It's obviously, they have a huge question mark with, you know, Aaron coming off this injury. You know, how many games are you going to go out there and play? But, you know, you look at the rest of the division, Buffalo's already without Milano for the season. That is a huge blow to their defense. They obviously had a lot of changes in the offseason, losing Diggs and basically all their other key players, it feels like, on defense. You made the joke about their receiver room, but that is a huge question mark right now for them. And then Miami, look, they're a really good football team, but the fact of the matter is they were 1-5 against teams with a winning record last year. The first time Tua wins a game when the temperature is below 45 degrees would be the first time he's ever done it. You look at the schedule, they play the Jets at the Jets in January, last game of the season. If that decides the AFC East, that's advantage Jets because of the cold weather factor. So, like, if the Jets have done nothing other than, hey, Aaron Rodgers is back, I think they're a better team than they of course, were with Zach Wilson and Tim Boyle. Now you talk about all the other additions they made and the fact that I don't believe Buffalo and Miami, if anything, they either stayed the same or got worse. I think it's set up for the Jets if, once again, we go back to the health question and you guys talk about the if.
Yeah.
If some of those ifs become like sure things for this team, I'd pick them to win the division, but I'm also not going to sit here and kill anyone who says, now nah, I'm taking Josh Allen on the Bills because best quarterback, he's proved it. They won the division 4 years in a row. So to me, it's, if I'm betting on it, I'm either taking the Jets or I'm taking the Bills. I'm not a big Miami guy.
Yeah, if is our favorite word, I feel like, for sure. But it is weird, like you said, to see them being co-favorite at plus 180 with the Bills atop this division. Their win total is 10.5 when they haven't won more than 7 since 2015. And it's, you know, it's just the conceptual side of it.
They won the division since 2002. Herm Edwards was the coach. Chad Pennington was the quarterback. That's like me, like at the start of my Jet fandom, thinking this is awesome. We're going to the playoffs every year and haven't won the division title since.
Okay, so you are here. Like we said off the top, this is contest sign-up weekend. So Radio Row is upstairs. There's lots of different people mixing and mingling. Are you signing up for any of the contests here?
Yes, I will be in the Circus Survivor, and I'm hoping it goes a little better than it did last year. We got bounced in week 3 last year. Remember the Cowboys got off to that incredible start. They destroyed Daniel Jones and the Giants week 1. I went to Dallas week 2 to watch. I was supposed to be Aaron Rodgers versus Dak and ended up being Zach Wilson versus Dak. So the Jets get pummeled that game. And everyone's like, wow, the Cowboys are great. They go to Arizona, who at the time, everyone's like, well, they're going to be the worst team in the league. And Josh Dobbs beats them. And that's how I got bounced out of the Circus Survivor last year.
I feel like everybody has an unbelievable story as to how they lost. It can never be just a simple cut and dry situation.
No, you know, you always made a mistake in some way and this crazy thing happened. And that's how I got bounced. It's funny because I talk about poker. You always talk about your bad beats. You never talk about your lucky wins. And there are just as many of those lucky wins in Survivor as the bad beats that eliminate people as well. So when you're looking at Survivor this year, have you come up with a strategy? Are you with me here? Just fade the Patriots every single week you can and hope they go 0-17?
Oh, man.
Or are you coming up with something else?
Yeah, I had not thought about that strategy, but that brings a lot of happiness just even thinking about fading the Patriots every week. I'll say this. I'm going to leave it up to my listeners. On my YouTube show, I call them the Asmaniacs. So I'm going to let the Asmaniacs basically decide each week which team we're going to pick, because I mean, I'm terrible. I mean, I'm supposed to be an expert. I'm not. I'm just a fan. You know, I'm passionate like you guys are, but like, I don't know what I'm doing. So I'm going to let my listeners each week, we'll come up with like we'll narrow it down to like the 4 teams we're eyeing. We'll vote on it. We're a very, you know, democratic YouTube program.
Okay.
So we'll make sure that the Asmaniacs get the final say on who we're picking each week.
That's a good reminder. Check out the Jake Asmon Show on YouTube. You can also catch Jake on ESPN Radio New York, Sirius XM Radio, all of the things. What else do you guys have going on this weekend?
Just honestly enjoying Circa. I every time I get a chance to do a hit with you guys here on VSiN, I'm just like, I cannot believe this is the office right here. Like, this has got to be one of the best views in all of broadcasting. So I'm just enjoying Circa. We had a lot of fun last night at like the kickoff party they did over at the D Hotel, which was great. So any chance that we get to come out here a couple times a year, it's always a blast.
Yeah, it's a phenomenal environment to be able to watch football. Make sure to check out some of the preseason games in here. I was here yesterday during the preseason games. It was still pretty electric, even for the preseason. So you can tell everyone is hungry for football here. We've got college football kicking off shortly as well. Last question for you here. Do you have any big futures you like in the NFL? Any teams you've bet to win the Super Bowl or anyone you're keeping an eye on at a big number?
So I already do have a ticket on the Jets over 9.5. And I just saw, you know, on the latest odds board, it's now up to 10.5. So I got really good value. And this was a bet I placed when I was here for the draft back in April. So I'm feeling good about that one. Some other bets I like. I was looking at Breece Hall's like over-unders, and I think they're really low. I mean, this is a guy last year that if you're looking for like a player prop guy to look at, this is a guy last year that with 13 different offensive line combinations in 17 games, was still second in the NFL among running backs in yards from scrimmage behind Christian McCaffrey. He had Nate Hackett as his OC. He had the worst quarterback situation, and he still went out there and was unbelievable. I think if you could get Breece Hall's yards or receptions total, just anything Breece Hall, I think he's going to be like the focal point of the offense, especially early on as they work Aaron back in slowly. So anything Breece Hall, any futures on Breece Hall, I'm targeting. I think he's going to have a monster season.
I know we said last question, we only have about 20 seconds left here, but I'm a 49ers fan. How's week 1 going to go?
Man, I know everyone's going to pick you guys, but until I find out what the
deal
is.
We're down to 4 on the spread now.
It's going the Jets' way. I mean, the Ayuk situation up there, McCaffrey's calf is up in the air. Trent Williams is still holding out. So, like, if I had to make a pick, I'd pick San Fran, but I think the Jets are a live dog in that game.
Hassan Reddick, never show up, okay? We don't need it. We don't need to worry about it. Thank you so much, Jake. We appreciate
you. Thank you guys for having me. Big fan of the show. Thanks for allowing me to come on.
Right back. More Lombardi Line coming up after this.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back here on this Friday edition of the Lombardi Line, Mike Somage in for Michael Lombardi today. Stormy Bonantoni with you. Fun conversation with Jake Asman last segment, especially talking about the Circa Survivor strategy he has. He's polling his audience out there for his YouTube show to have his selection everywhere. I said, that's a lot of pressure for your audience. Be like, guys, I'm not trying to make this a $1,000 donation.
Well, I'm just waiting for the week that he goes 3-1 and the audience picks the one.
Oh, right.
Because he said he's going to have four teams that he's going to pick, and then we'll see what happens. It's going to be fun to track the results of how those four teams do, and then does the audience pick the right one? And the big thing for me, too, is you got to make sure your audience understands the weeks you have to look forward to. Thanksgiving week, Christmas week, saving a team. Does he choose to not put certain teams on the top four so he can specifically save them as well? Just a lot of interesting strategy that goes into Survivor. I can't wait for it to go. We were talking about this during the break. I've never played Circa Survivor by myself. Mm-hmm. I've always been in groups of two or three people. I'm excited to try it for myself this year, because then it's just all the pressure's on me. But it also means that I can be a little crazy, and that's totally fine. Mm. You can take the off-the-wall team every now and then, and the two people on your text messages aren't saying, I told you so, when that team loses.
So we're similar in that. My father and I have always done it together, and so we're going to do two together, but I want to sign up for one more so that I can have my own, because you do have those conversations, and sometimes you'll get a suggestion thrown your way, like, I really don't like that, I really don't believe in it, and then they really do, and then they end up winning the battle, and then you lose, and then you're like, well, woulda, shoulda, coulda, and so I just want to know, I just want to have it on me, have the weight on my shoulders, see what happens. And this will be fun too, because this year, in addition to this past year, how the crew did that Circa Survivor docuseries, which episode one came out this past Monday, episode two dropping next Monday, The Quest for 9.2 million. They're doing that again. And so last year I was out too early. Yes, I was one of those people that got crushed in the Houston Texans Jags before we knew what Houston was really going to be situation. Neither here nor there. This is the year. Okay, we're going to build it back up and see where we can go.
Yeah, I spin it that I also got lost that game. My spin on it is I beat 70% of the field, because there was only 20-something percent of the field left in week four. Now, it doesn't matter that we all went out in week three as well, but there's at least a positive spin. What I want to know, Stormy, so I was watching this, and first episode of this documentary. I traveled to Las Vegas 30 times a year. I always stay at Circa. I've never had the limo sent for me. What's it take to get the limo, Stormy?
It's the only way I travel. No, just got to get Derek Stevens and Mike Palm on speed dial. That's how it happens. No, it was very kind of them to lend me the limo for a day when I came to sign up for Survivor that day. You got to have some TV value, though, here. You know what I'm saying?
It was strong. It was strong.
So on my drive into work today, I had an idea for a segment. I want to see how this goes. I'm titling it Call Me Crazy. And so I'm going to throw a couple topics at you that could be an overreaction. You might think it's a hot take, but it's how I feel. And I want to see if you're going to call me crazy or think I'm correct. So I want to start with the Philadelphia Eagles, because yesterday they added Commanders wide receiver Jahan Dotson to what is already a stacked, talented offense here. He joins A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, Dallas Goedert, Saquon Barkley. So call me crazy, but the Eagles have the best pass-catching unit in the entire National Football League.
I would have called you crazy before the trade yesterday. Now I think it's very close. I really like what San Francisco has if Ayuk's back. With Ayuk and Samuel, you've got Kittle. The number three, obviously, a little more of a concern there. I really like what Seattle has with Smith and Jigba, second year, and you've got two elite older wide receivers that are set up there. And you've got an interesting new offensive coordinator, also came from Washington, should be able to spread the field and throw the ball deep, something they didn't do as much as I would have liked last year. But I kind of agree with this now with Dotson in the slot, because they needed that third guy. They needed the third wide receiver. He fits the bill. So I would have said Seattle 2 days ago. I will agree with you on the Eagles today.
Okay. See, this is good, because we couldn't have him call me crazy. We know how much every woman
I'm just trying not to get
loves
in trouble
to
here.
Be called crazy. I think this next one, though, you might. So we've had all this talk already on the show about the Pittsburgh Steelers quarterback situation. Call me crazy, but no matter what happens this weekend, for me, it's Russell Wilson's going to be the week one starter in Pittsburgh.
You're crazy.
You're crazy. You called me crazy. Now I'm going to be crazy. No matter what.
You're telling me he can go out and, let's say, he has three series, throws two interceptions, gets sacked three times. You're starting Russell Wilson.
I think Mike Tomlin will.
You're crazy. You're crazy. No, the job is on the line for Russell Wilson.
Because I don't think Justin Fields is going to have a performance significantly better to pull away.
That's fair. I'm not going to say that's crazy because he could stink too. But no matter what is the problem. It's the definitive nature of the statement where I disagree with it. Okay. This job is 100% up for grabs, and I'm going to reiterate what I said at the top of the show. It is a mistake if you start Russell Wilson.
Okay.
Ceiling for a team is significantly lower, and you need to be good early in the season.
For the record, Russell Wilson, -425 to be the week one starting quarterback for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Justin Fields, 3-1.
Yeah, I'm not saying he's going to start. I'm saying he should start. There's a big difference there.
Okay, well, this next one, I want to lead by saying I am 99% sure I'm staying off of this game altogether. But week zero coming up this weekend, call me crazy, but I kind of want to bet Delaware State. You're giving me 40 points on a game that opened 27.5.
You're not crazy. I mean, it's moved 13 points, almost two full touchdowns, and it's Hawaii. It's Hawaii.
Yeah, like Hawaii's not a world beater. They're going to roll in this game, don't get me wrong, but
I would much rather lay Hawaii first half than full game.
Absolutely.
I would be much more interested in Delaware State full game than first half for the simple reason that usually 40-point favorites, you know, at some point lay off the gas. If that happens, it's probably the second half. Delaware State going to Hawaii. That's got to be one of the longest road trips in college football history for a road game.
Well, and get this. So it's already a 10.5-hour trip, right? But because of this travel snafu they had with the buses the initial days they were trying to get to JFK, they missed their nonstop flight, had to travel the next day, take three separate flights in order to get to Hawaii. So yes, they've had travel issues. Yes, they're bottom five in the FCS. Yes, they went 1-10 last year and lost 57-0 to Army, who couldn't score points against air. This is a new year, and Hawaii, fun fact, has only been a 3+ touchdown favorite 4 times since 2015. 0-4 ATS. There's going to be heavy rain. There's going to be heavy wind. I think anything can happen. You give me 40 points. I don't know.
Anything can happen.
Call me crazy.
I don't mind the +40. Okay.
Let's keep it creeping up. People are going to keep laying it with Hawaii. I'll take the other
side. I bet you get 42 by kickoff.
Do it. Okay. See? Now we're talking. I don't know if I'll get there. Again, 99% sure I'm just staying off of this game altogether. But
storm warning. She's getting there.
Let's stick with college football because call me crazy. Is this New Mexico line getting a little out of hand here? They're 13.5-point dog to an FCS team.
It is getting a little out of hand. New Mexico's not very good. So let's make sure we state that. They're a bad football team. But you got to think that, you know, if we get to the two touchdown point, there's going to be some buyback. I actually thought we'd see buyback when we got to 13. And it kind of just keeps on creeping. It's a little out of hand. You're not crazy. But I'm also not running to the window to bet New Mexico.
Do you have any week zero bets?
I do. I've got 2 week zero bets. I really like the Georgia Tech offense against the Florida State defense. I think Florida State's offense is going to be good. But people aren't talking about how much returning production Georgia State has. In the year of the years of the NIL and the transfer portal, starting quarterback, starting running back, three starting wide receivers, four of the five starting offensive linemen, all back for Georgia Tech. When you're betting dogs, you don't have to just take the points. There's other ways to bet them. Mm-hmm. My main handicap here is Georgia Tech is going to be able to move the football. I'll take the team total over 21.5 in that spot.
That. That's a really good perspective to take on that game. Four games involving FBS teams coming up in week zero tomorrow. This next one, let's get this Lamar Jackson video up if we could. Producer Justin, who is in this week. Call me crazy. If I'm John Harbaugh, I am banning Lamar Jackson from bicycles. If I didn't have his athleticism, I would not have teeth after that move.
Yeah, no way he is allowed to ride a bicycle after watching this. And much less try and showboat here, okay? Because the high five is what really threw off the balance. And like, you think of Lamar Jackson, one of these runners that can stay on his feet no matter what. Like, it shouldn't be that hard to high five and ride a bicycle, especially those are the fat wheel tires. We're not talking about like the skinny ones where just a little wobble can send you off. No, Lamar Jackson, you are officially off bicycles. I would not allow anything with wheels or motors for anybody. I mean, we had
the Ravens are adding that to his contract stat.
Yeah, just no more of that. None of that. Get off the bicycle, Lamar. It was cute. That's great. Maybe stick to a scooter.
Okay.
You can't really get hurt with scooters because it's so low to the ground.
It could hurt your ankles, though. If anybody who has had a Razor scooter knows that pain, that when it clocks your ankle a little bit, it's not the best. This last one. So Jonathan Von Tobel and I, another host here at the network, have an ongoing discussion about the proper types of Pop-Tarts, the proper way to eat a Pop-Tart. He likes them unfrosted. Call me crazy, but an unfrosted Pop-Tart is serial killer behavior. No, thank you.
No, you are 100% right on this. He is crazy. What's the point of eating a Pop-Tart without the frosting?
That's what I'm saying.
Now, I will say, give me uncooked Pop-Tarts over cooked Pop-Tarts.
Ooh, interesting.
You don't need the toaster. It's still delicious without it. I actually think it's better without it because you also don't burn your tongue on the frosting that gets too, or on the jam or whatever that gets too hot on the inside. Uncooked frosted Pop-Tarts, clear number one in the Pop-Tart rankings.
I don't discriminate, but I like them both ways, you know, especially, I'm telling you.
You mean cooked and uncooked. You don't mean frosted and uncooked.
I wouldn't eat an untoasted chocolate fudge Pop-Tart. A toasted one with butter on it is the game changer of all game changers. More great insight like this next.